Well, anybody that would like to hear a short story, welcome to sit down. Anybody that would rather eat an ice cream cone right now is welcome to leave. The stories that I tell most often at Holden, I tell at Narnia. I sometimes tell a story to big people, too. The favorite story that I tell to big people is one that I just sort of evolved to tell to our children when they were growing up. I've never written it down. It always comes out of my head. So each time it's probably just the least bit different. I never have any papers to refer to. I just have to sort of remember it. It probably isn't quite as exciting as the children's stories that you tell at Narnia. You know, when you tell Jack and the Beanstalk, well, you can make the magic chicken lay an egg, you know. That isn't in the children's story. That isn't in this story I'm going to tell tonight. And neither do you have the thing about when the giant is opening the door, the castle. When giants open doors, the doors that they open, those doors always go like this. Well, that won't be in this story. This story, I gave it a name. I call it Life's Greatest Moment. I've told it to a few of you before, and then a few more kind of asked me if I'd tell it. Anyway, this way it turned out. Here I am. Well, the story begins the same as all good stories begin. How do all good stories begin? Christy Sue, how do all good stories begin? Once upon a time, many, many years ago, but this one is not in a country far, far across the sea. This story begins in a frontier area, in sort of a wilderness area. It begins with a country schoolhouse, set in a big clearing in the forest. Well, not so very big, big enough so the children had room to play. And when the story begins, it's noon recess. The children are all out in the schoolyard for playing and for eating their lunch. And it's a very, very lovely day in May, I think. The sky is very blue overhead. White clouds are floating in the sky. And the spring green is on all the trees. And the grass is turning green. And the wildflowers are starting to bloom. And then we see a little boy. He's playing with the children. But he stops. He thinks, it's time for me to gather a bouquet of flowers, a bouquet of wildflowers for my teacher. He likes his teacher. In those days, probably his teacher was a man. But in those days, it was all right for a little boy to like a man. People didn't know as much as they know now, I guess. And so he thought he'd follow a path that went from the schoolhouse through the woods, and that he would gather some wildflowers while he was walking through the woods to go to a big stump. And he'd sit on that big stump and eat his lunch. And that big stump was right where the path crossed a country dirt road. And that big stump was quite a landmark. Everybody knew about the big stump. And he thought he'd sit there and eat his lunch. So he started down the path, and one wildflower looked prettier than the other. So he was going from flower to flower and going on and on until he got to the big stump. And he sat on the big stump, and he was just starting to unwrap his lunch. And that's really sort of where our story starts. Say, did that mic cut out? Will you fix that? And
I'll try.
I could talk without it, I guess. have a fairly loud voice. So you just started to unwrap his lunch, and just then a tall, lanky stranger was walking up the dirt country road. And this tall, lanky stranger looked very sad. He looked very discouraged. He'd started out to go to a certain place that morning, but he was uncertain. And he had decided that when he got to the stump at the top of the hill, he'd rest there a while, and he'd turn around and go back where he came from. So he got to the stump, and he and the boy started to visit. And they shared their the little boy's lunch. And he talked about, all sorts of things that men and boys can talk about. I know they talked about fishing, because the little path the boy had followed, when it crossed the road, it went right down to a river where the spring fish were just waiting to be caught. Well, they had a very happy hour together. And then, when the hour was over, the boy knew it was too late for him to go back to school. And the tall, lanky stranger somehow had forgotten his sadness, and he didn't go back where he came from. He went on to where he intended to go. I suppose we might say that he went on to his destiny. And the little boy went on too. He went right straight down to the creek and started to catch fish, and he caught the most beautiful fish. And he came home that night with that string of fish, and he was so happy. And his dad and his mother saw the happiness on his face, and they couldn't even spank him. They couldn't even scold him for skipping school. Instead, they cleaned the fish, and they had the fish for dinner, and the fish tasted so good. It was a very, very happy day. Why, a person could almost think that it was the greatest day in a person's life. The next time we see the little boy, it's a long time afterwards. He's an old man, and he's sitting on his porch, rocking. He's rocking, and he's rocking. And he's talking to his friends, and his friends call him the general. And they call him the general because he was a general, and he'd won a famous battle in a big war. And he never got tired of telling his friends about winning that great battle in that big war. And he thought that winning that battle was the greatest moment in his life. Well, it certainly was a very great moment. But we know something the general didn't know. We know that it wasn't the greatest moment in his life, because we know that he shared his lunch with Abraham Lincoln. And because we know that, we know something else that the general didn't know. We know that the greatest moment in the general's life might have been any time from the day he was born up until the day he shared his lunch with Abraham Lincoln. Or it might have been any time from then up to the time he won the famous battle. Or it might have been any time from then until the moment he breathed his last breath. And because we know that, we know something else that the general didn't know. Don't we, Christy Sue? We know that in God's providence and by God's gracious love, none of us know when the greatest moment in our life occurs. Because if we did, then the first part of our life up until that greatest moment would be wasted in prospect. It would be all meaningless prospect. And the rest of our life after that greatest moment would be all worthless retrospect. And because we know that, we know something else that the general didn't know. we know that we have no way of evaluating the potential, the greatness that may come from any moment. And we know that the possibility of any moment is beyond our knowing. And because we know that, we know that the possible greatness of any moment is beyond our knowing. And because we know that, we know that whenever our life touches another person's life, the potential consequences can be greater than any of us know. And they're not limited. They're really not limited. They're limitless. What an exciting thing. And because we know this, we know that the greatest moment we have is only the moment that we have. And the only moment we ever have is this one. So the greatest moment in all of our lives could be right now. Right now. Thanks be to God.